Hey everybody, my name is Gavin Bowman. I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft, and welcome to another awesome episode of the Game Dev Show. And for all the Star Wars nerds out there, happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. I didn't really have anything witty to add on. Great, so obviously the first step to getting started with building games with Unity is by downloading it and installing it. So in case anyone hasn't done that, just go ahead and head to Unity's website, unity3d.com. Go ahead and select the Get Unity button. You're going to see there's a personal edition, there's a professional edition. There's a ton of bells and whistles that the professional edition comes with, but the personal edition is totally free. You can build your games up. There's no royalties charged, which is awesome. And you've got everything... you know, you really need to build the game. But if you guys find yourselves working with Unity a lot, you want to use it professionally, you want to make your own awesome games, definitely recommend upgrading to the Pro Edition. Great. So I already have it downloaded, but if you guys haven't, just go ahead and click this free download button. Or if you want to pay for it, click the From 75 a Month button, and it'll go ahead and install. And yeah, we'll be ready to go. So since opening Unity up for the first time is indeed magical, I'm going to walk through this process with you guys. We're going to go ahead and we're just going to click this new button in the upper right corner. We're going to give our project a name. I'm going to name mine Flippy Bird because I'm definitely afraid of copyright infringement and being chased down by people. Cool, you can also choose where you want this to be saved, right? I do not want it saved in this directory. I'm going to like bring it up a little bit. That's great. I'll just name it Flippy. It's my folder, and I'll save it there. Well, I know that. I gotta create a folder? Really? Okay, yeah, sure. Let's create a folder. Okay, sweet. And that's where I'm gonna save it. Great. Now, for 3D versus 2D, in terms of your viewing angle, Unity is actually a 3D game development engine, so everything you do in Unity is geared for 3D. And the 2D button doesn't change anything other than the viewing angle at which you actually look at your game. I just thought that's a really funny, cute thing to do. Cool, and right under that, you're going to see an asset packages link. Now, this just gives you a bunch of assets, really, characters, things like environment assets, and things of that nature. So if you were ever building out a quick proof of concept or something like that, and you just need stuff to put in your game, the asset packages are great for that. But speaking of stuff, we won't need to add any from these asset packages. I've already gotten some images for you guys to use. So if you just head to this link, aka.ms/flappybird, you can go ahead and right click and download that Flapping Bird Assets folder, extract it somewhere you'll know where it is. I left mine on my desktop here. And from there we can just use that in our game, right? So I'm going to go ahead and click Create Project here. I'm going to give it a minute. Sweet. And our Unity window pops up and it's this beautiful blank canvas, right? That just has nothing going on. Off to the right is your inspector. That's sort of a contextual sort of menu that changes depending on what you click, right? So if I click main camera, I'll get, you know, information about the camera, or my light source, I'll get information about that, right? And off to the left side is my hierarchy. So everything that's happening in my scene, which I'll cover in a little bit, is going to be listed in my hierarchy, right? And at the bottom left, you're going to see there's my assets folder here, right? In my project window. Now, assets folder is understood by Unity by default. That's where it looks for everything that your game has. Now within this asset folder, we're going to create a bunch of other folders. So right along with me, you guys can go ahead and right click in this blank space in the asset folder. We're going to hover over create. We're going to create a folder. I'm going to name my first one scripts. All right, and I'll do another one, create another folder. I'll name this one scenes. Okay, I'm going to right click create folder. I'll name this one textures. All right, and I'll do this one more time, and I'll name this one prefabs. All right, so to cover some of the terminology, right, textures are obviously, in this case it'll be 2D, but it could be 3D, right, 2D textures that we're going to have in our game. So we're going to have video game sprites added in. SPNGs are going to be converted to sprites, and that's how Unity will understand how to use them. Over in our scripts folder, we're going to have the code that we write. Our C# code, it's going to go in that scripts folder. Scenes can be looked at as different levels in the game and different menus and different screens that the user sent to, right? So in this case, we're just going to have one scene. We're going to call that main. But if I wanted a start screen or a high score screen, you know, things like that, or extra levels in my game, they'd all be considered scenes. And prefabs are this really cool concept in game development that allows me to take a bunch of objects and maybe a bunch of scripts and a bunch of textures, slap them all together, and whenever I want to reuse that bunch of stuff, I can just save it as a prefab and call it whenever I need to. So we'll cover a little bit of everything in this video. First thing I'm going to do is go ahead and open up my Flapping Bird Assets folder. All right, I'm going to go ahead and navigate over to my desktop here. Where did I put that folder? Okay. Yep, and I'm just going to open that bad boy. And I'm just going to take the important assets, right? My background, my bird, my bottom pipe, and my top pipe. I'm not going to worry about the rest, and I'm just going to drag and drop them into my textures folder. So I'm going to open up my textures folder, right? And then I'll just take my background, I'll drop it in here, bird, drop him in here, pipe bottom, pipe top, we'll drop those in here, and we're good to go. So that's our game, right? Now another thing I wanted to talk about while I'm here is the viewpoint, right? So in the middle of our screen, I didn't really talk about this. This is our scene view, right? What's happening in our game, in our entire game world. And notice that, you know, this doesn't look like two-dimensional, right? This is kind of I got like this awkward viewing angle, right? But if I go ahead and click this 2D box right on my scene panel here, it changes my viewpoint, right? I don't have to worry about the Z-axis anymore, which is great. And that's exactly what we want. Keep that. So the next thing I'm going to do is play around with what my scene view looks like, right? Since we're going to be spending all our time checking this out, making sure that everything looks good, I want to make sure that it's a great place for me to work, right? So up top here in the small little toolbar where I set things to 2D versus 3D, I'm also going to go ahead and I'm going to remove that light source because we don't care about that. Now, if you did care about that, you would care about that, I should say, if you were building a 3D game. But since this is a 2D game, I'm just going to remove that. And off to the right of it, I can also toggle my audio on or off. I don't want to do that. But I do want to change some things about my skybox here. I want to remove that, right? I can also remove any fog or flares or any animated materials I have in my game. This, again, is really great for 3D. But in this case, I just want a nice, clean grid so we can build our game. Another thing I'm going to do is head over to my main camera here. I'm going to make sure that my projection is set to perspective and not orthographic. Well, excuse me, orthographic and not perspective. Whoops. And what that does, it gives me this awesome little frame and I can see exactly where my game begins and where it ends, right? And so for Flappy Birds, this is perfect. Cool. So I have that all set up. The next thing I'm going to do is just add in my background, right? That's the first thing we need to add to our game. So I'm going to go in my textures folder here, I'm going to select my background. I'm just going to drag it in the environment. I cannot do that. Why can't I do that? Boom. Here's why. It's because my background texture wasn't converted to a 2D sprite. This is actually very common. So make sure you have your background selected, right? On the right side of the screen in the inspector menu here, we're going to change texture to sprite. And in parentheses, you're going to see 2D and UI, right? That's what we want. I'm actually glad I made that mistake because it's a very common thing. And you're just sitting there wondering what's going on. Great. So now that that's my texture type, right, I can also choose how big the size of my texture is going to be. And that matters if you care about performance or how big your images need to be in your game. But I think 2048 is okay, right? This is a really simple game we're making, so we're fine. We can fudge a little bit. Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and click apply here. All right. And I get this little success message, right? And they say only POT texture can be compressed if bitmaps are enabled, right? We don't care about that. But if you look over back in our textures box here, our textures folder, I should say, you notice there's a small little arrow next to the background, and that arrow just shows what the background has been converted to, right? What the original image is versus what we can use for the game. So now when I want to drag my background into the environment, I can just drag it and drop it. Works, right? Which is great. But you may notice that my my camera view here sees a lot more than what this background shows off, right? If I wanted to test my game, I could just hit this play button up in the middle of the screen. You notice, like, there's this awkward blue square sitting under my background, right? So maybe I want to change that. Maybe I want to scale up my background, and I definitely do. So a great way to do this the first time around, if you just want this to match the camera, what I do is I just kind of eyeballed it, right? I just, you know, dragged it, stretched it out, and tried to fit it on there. But there are better ways of doing this, obviously, right? So once I have this select, you can see on the right side of my screen, there's a scale option, right? And I can scale things up and scale things down numerically if I wanted. So notice I was able to fill the corners pretty much eyeballing it, most of it. But, you know, if I wanted more exact numbers, maybe I'd say, okay, this is, let's scale this by 3 on the x-axis and, you know, 2 on the y. Notice that's not quite big enough, so we'll go ahead and ask them. 3.3, right? That feels good enough. Another important thing I should talk about in Unity are these different mouse types, like move types. Like, so if I click just a little hand icon here, I can move, you know, my perspective around, or I can check and see what's going on. If I wanted to use the scale tool, I can scale up, I can move my objects up and down on the y-axis. Excuse me, and left and right. That's actually not scale. Damn it. Right, so another thing I want to check out are my different cursor types here in the upper left corner in Unity, right? So I've got this tool, this little hand icon allows me to just, you know, change my perspective on my game and see what's happening, you know, completely in my scene view. I've got this awesome little move tool that I can just go ahead and select and move my objects all the way around, right? If I want to go straight up, I can just move straight up. If I want to go straight to the left, I can move straight to the left. I'm going to undo that and put that back where it belongs. Over on this one, this is my rotate tool. Allows me to rotate. That's pretty cool. And this bad boy is my scale tool, right? Allows me to scale up, scale down, scale negatively, scale left and right, that sort of thing. And finally, it's just my basic cursor, right? This is what I find myself using most of the time in Unity, right? I can just click things and drag them and drop them and pick them up and, you know, what I would expect a mouse to do natively. Cool. Great. So the next thing we want to do is add in our hero with a troubled past, right? We want to go ahead and we want to put in our main protagonist in our game, our bird, right? So I'm going to go ahead in my textures folder. I'm going to make sure my bird is selected. Make sure that his texture type is set to 2D, sprite 2D and UI. We're going to apply that, right? And now we can just drag our bird in. Notice he's tiny, man. Look at that. He's just super small. So we're going to scale him up a bit, right? I'll make him maybe, let's see if 3 works. 3 looks pretty good. I think 3 is pretty good. We'll leave it at that. Great. And now we need our misunderstood villains in our game, right? We're definitely going to need our bottom pipe and our pop type added in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and take these bad boys and I'm going to drag them just outside of, oh, gotta make sure I convert them. Boom, apply. I'll do it for the other one as well. Apply. Great. I'm just gonna drag these bad boys outside of my layout here, my camera view, right? So I'm just gonna take this and drag it to the top. I'm gonna position them like I want to see them in the game, right? And these bad boys are kind of skinny for our game, so we're gonna scale these up as well. I guess we'll see what 2 looks like. Yeah. Double feels right. That's a good pipe size, right? Scale it up by 2. Same here. 2 and 2. Great. I say 2 and 2. Awesome. So I'm going to position these bad boys right above and right under each other. I'm sort of eyeballing it because it's quick and dirty, right? But it gives you a good sense of what's going on in the game and what we want it to happen. So honestly, if I wanted to see what my game looked like, Unity makes it super easy to test, right? You just hit this play button and see what happens, right? Boom, you get a whole lot of nothing. Another thing I want to talk about while this is going on is that when I hit the play button, I switch from my scene view to my game view, but I can still go back to my scene view while my game is playing. We're going to do that a couple times during this video. Another thing I want to talk about is the aspect ratios in your game, right? So we can change it to free aspect if we wanted to see everything that's going on. We can change it to 5x4 and 4x3. And the cool thing about Unity is that you can export and publish to pretty much any popular platform out there, but you got to make sure that your game is optimized for that platform. So that's what these different view options allow you to do, right? If you find out that, hey, maybe this one device I want to use has an aspect ratio of 16:9, which is very common, right? Maybe you want to make your game work for 16:9 and just be aware of what's going on. I'm going to go ahead and put this back at 5x4 though, because that feels right for Flappy Bird. Cool, and I'm going to stop playing my game. And I'm going to go back to my scene view. Great. So as you guys may have noticed, there's not much functionality going on in our Flappy Bird game right now. It's kind of depressingly boring. It's okay. We're going to fix it, right? We're going to give our bird a little bit of functionality by selecting him here. The first things first, our bird doesn't understand that gravity's a thing, right? And our bird isn't better than the rest of us. He needs to adhere to gravity the same way we all do, so we're going to add that on to him. And another cool nicety of Unity is that things like gravity and collisions, commonalities that you see in a lot of video games, those are made as reusable parts called components in Unity. So we're going to go ahead and make sure our bird is selected. Right, in this inspector menu, this context menu on the right side of the screen, we're going to click add component here. All right, and the component I want to add in, I can just start typing. There's a ton of them, by the way, but I'm just going to go ahead and start typing in the component I want. This is going to be called the rigid body 2D component, rigid body 2D. Right, and you can see I can configure a bunch of things, right? Whether I want to have auto mask, whether I have any constraints I want to put in there, these certain things. Is the item kinematic or not? Is it going to even adhere to gravity? Things like that. So, but I'm not going to touch anything because I don't need to for my bird. I just want to see what adding that component does, right? So I'm going to play my game. And notice my bird now falls through my screen. But case in point, guys, I'm going to talk to you about something really depressing about our game right now. Even though we don't see it, our bird is still falling, right? If you look at that Y value, it's ever decreasing, right? How depressing is that? It's just going down and down. So we need to save our bird from oblivion by giving him some more functionality. But another way to look at this isn't just from the game menu, right? From the game screen. We can also check this out and see how it looks in the scene view. So I'm going to click play again, and I'm going to quickly switch over to my scene view. Notice, I wonder if I can catch up with him. Oh, yeah, our bird is ever descending, right? How sad is that? Cool, we're going to stop that, right? The next thing we want to do is give our bird some functionality, some user input, right? Since I'm programming on a keyboard and mouse here, I'm going to use my keyboard as my primary input device for my game. I'm going to be building Flappy Bird for PC, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead over to my scripts folder, bottom left corner, click my scripts folder, right? It's empty by default, but I can add in a script, and I'm gonna make that script understand, hey, you should make your bird move, man. That'd be a cool thing to do. Right, so I'm just gonna right click here, I'm gonna click create, and I'm gonna create a C# script. And I can name that script, I'm gonna name it player, in all caps, all right? And I'm gonna go ahead and click enter here. Opening up my script, right? Or you could double click whatever makes you happy. Now, I'm using Visual Studio as my primary dev environment for Unity, but if you guys wanted to use Mono Develop, that also comes as a feature in Unity as well. Visual Studio is a great IDE, though. You get all the cool debugging features, you get IntelliSense, you've got access to the Unity APIs. So it's just a really cool thing that just helps out, just speeds up that dev process, which is great. Cool. So once this is done, we're going to go ahead and get started. All right, so now that Visual Studio is up and running, we can go ahead and get started with our code, right? So this script is just going to be a very simple script that shows our bird how to move up, right? If you're not a programmer, if you're new to programming, don't freak out. This is a super simple game. It's engineered to be easy, right? So don't freak out too much. I'm going to try to make it as understandable as possible. So the first thing we want to do is make our bird move, right? We need to give him first a velocity, right? He needs to know where he's going to go and how fast. And the next thing we're going to need to do is give him some input, right? Make the bird understand that, hey, when I hit this button, move up. So the first thing we're going to do is write in our player CS class, right under public class player, I'm going to go ahead and define a public vector 2. And I'm going to name that jump strength, right? And I'm going to instantiate that as a new vector 2. I'll make him go and see the parameters I'm going to be passing in is the x and the y axis. So vector 2, it's just movement in a given direction on two planes, the x and y axis. Now, if you were doing 3D programming, of course, you'd be using vector 3 objects in Unity. So right now, all we're doing is coding against the Unity API. So what I'm going to go ahead is I'm going to pass in 0 on the x-axis, and I'm going to pass in, let's see, 300 on the y. Now, IntelliSense is telling me that vector 2s want floats, right? So I'm just going to throw an f behind this to delimit that they're float data types, just to be sure. Cool. So now that that's done, what I want to do now is to tell this C# file that, hey, whenever whenever I hit my space bar or my up button or whatever, I want you to always be listening for that. And when it happens, move my bird. So I'm going to put this in this update method here, because update is called once every frame, right? And that's it pretty much all the time as the game is going. So I'm just going to go ahead and make this if statement. If my input, let's call the input class here. If my input, I'll type in get key up, dot get key up. And they want to know what key. I can pass in either a key code or just a string with the name of the key. I'm going to pass in my space bar. So right now I'm saying if I hit the space bar, as soon as I do, I actually want get key down, meaning as soon as it's down. Sorry about that, guys. Cool. So as soon as my space bar is down, I'm going to do something, right? And the thing I want to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to get that rigid body component from our bird, right? That component we added, it also has some additional functionality. It allows us to move at a given vector. So I'm going to get that rigid body component, and I'm going to add that vector 2 I just created earlier to it, right? So I'm going to go ahead and use the get component syntax. I'm going to use get component to call that rigid body 2D component. Okay. This is the syntax. And I'm going to assign the velocity of that component. And all of these stuff, like, you know, what is rigid body? What classes does it have? What does it understand how to do? All that's listed in the Unity API. Cool. I'm going to set that velocity to 0 first. So I'm going to go ahead and assign that to a vector2.0 so that I'm not consistently adding and adding and adding on top of that, so that every time I hit the space button, my bird goes a little higher. I don't want that, right? And now right after that, I'm going to call get component again, and it's going to be my rigid body again, rigid body 2D. And I'm going to add force to that. I'm going to use the dot add force method. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pass in my jump strength as the force, right? So that's all I'm saying. Just, hey, take this jump strength, add it to my rigid body, make my bird go up, right? As soon as I hit the space bar. So I'm going to save that now. I can either file save here, right? Or I can hit Control S. And I'm going to minimize Visual Studio for now. And I'm going to go ahead to my game. Now notice, if I run my game again, my bird doesn't do anything when I hit the space bar, because my bird doesn't understand that this player script I made even exists, right? But it's okay. We can go ahead and add that really easily. There's a couple of different ways you could. You could select the bird. You could click that add component button like we did for the rigid body, and we can just scroll down to the scripts section, right? And it's going to look for all the scripts that we have in that script folder, and we can just add it that way. Or if you wanted, you could just take the player script and drag it on top of your bird in the hierarchy pane, right? But I'm not going to do that since my bird already has it. Now, another thing you may notice is that as soon as I added my player script onto my bird, my jump strength has been defined, right? I can change it while my game is running, right? So by default, X is 0 and Y is 300, but maybe I found that that doesn't go high enough, right? So let's play our game and see how that looks. Oh, yeah, it looks pretty good, right? But maybe I wanted to change my... Maybe I wanted to change my jump strength, right? So I'll change that to 400 and I'll run my game. Right? Notice my bird goes a little higher, right? So I can test if my member variables are public, I can test to see, okay, well, how does this look compared to what I added, right? I can change that at any time while the game is running, which is really cool. But to be sure, I'm going to switch this back to 300. To be sure, when you're ready to take your game, put it out in the wild and export it, whatever values are in your code are going to be the ones that are chosen, right? So just because I put 400 in this field here does not mean that it's going to stay 400. It actually means complete opposite. It's not going to stay 400. It's going to always go back to 300. Cool. So since my bird has got some functionality, I want to go ahead and give some to my pipes here, right? So the first thing I'm going to do is select both of these pipes individually. I'm going to select my pipe top first, and I'm going to give it a collider component, right? So I'm going to go ahead and make sure it's selected. I'm going to click add component here, and I'm just going to start typing in box collider 2D. That's the one I want, box collider 2D. And what that does is it puts a box, a square around my object here, and it allows me to code against any events that come up in the event that they collide, right? So that's pretty much what they're used for. I'm going to go ahead and do the same thing for my bottom pipe here, right? I'll click Add Component, I'm just going to click Box Collider 2 again. Now, there's also a polygon collider in Unity, and that is really useful for objects that don't look like perfect squares, right? So in my event, in my case, the bird is small enough that I can put a box collider around him. My pipe top and my pipe bottom are, you know, square, rectangular enough, I should say, to put a box collider around them as well. So I don't need a polygon collider, but if you wanted to get really close and accurate on what collides with what, that's what you'd want. Cool. So I'm also going to select my bird. I'm going to add a box collider on that as well, because I'll need one, right? And the next thing I want to do is just make sure that my pipes now know how to move. And they don't know that right now. But since I don't want one to ever be moving independently of the other, I want them all to go at the same rate, the top pipe and the bottom pipe, I'm going to put them under one master object, right? So on the left side of the screen, I'm going to right click. I'm going to create empty here. Right, and what it does is it creates an empty game object, an invisible object for me to play around with. And what I want to do is I'm going to rename that. You can just, you know, click it once or right click and you can click rename. I'm going to rename that pipe set. Okay, and I'm going to take my pipe bottom here and I'm just going to drag it on top of my pipe set, and that makes it a child of pipe set, right? I'm going to take my pipe top here and I'm going to drag it on under pipe set as well, right? So now when I minimize it, you can see my pipe top and my pipe bottom are right under that. Now the reason I did that is, again, because I want them to move at the same rate. So I can just select pipe set here. I can click add component, right? And I can give that a rigid body component, right? Give it my rigid body 2D component. And that allows me to do things like move it to the left of the screen, right? Move my pipe set to the left of the screen. But as you notice, you may notice that the same object, my bird, has rigid body as well, and so does my pipes. And so when I run my game, my pipes actually fall through. I want to do that again so you guys can see it. And that's kind of a problem, right? But I can get rid of gravity on my pipes. My pipes adhere to a different set of laws, right? I can get rid of gravity by making sure that the isKinematic button is checked, right? So now when I run my game, my bird falls, but my pipes don't. And that's exactly what I want. Cool, cool, cool. So the next thing I want to do is give my pipes some functionality, right? So what I can do here is go back into my scripts folder. I'm going to right click next to my player script. I'm going to create another one, another C# script. And I'm going to name that script Obstacle. And I could have named it Pipe, but, you know, I just wanted to keep it vague enough in case I don't want to do Flappy Bird. Maybe I want to do Flappy Bird Against Mountains or something, I don't know. Cool, and when I open that up, I'm going to get this reload all. Yep, I'll reload all. So what we're going to do here in this Obstacle C# file is we're going to make our pipes move. We're going to give our pipes some velocity, right? So what I'm going to do is add a public Vector2 object here. And I'm going to call that obstacle velocity. I'm going to set that as a new vector too. And this time I do care about it moving on the x-axis. I'm going to say I want it moving left, so that's going to be negative. Let's say -4. I mean, I totally haven't done this before. I don't know that -4 is the right word. But that's what I want happening, -4. And on the y-axis, I just want 0, right? So that's cool for that. Now, what I want to do is I want these pipes to be moving as soon as the game starts. So I can use my start method here. This happens as soon as the scene is run, right? So on my start method, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to use getComponent again. GetComponent. I'm going to get that rigid body that we slapped on, right? And I'm going to get the velocity of that rigid body. I'm going to set that to obstacle velocity. Okay, great. And the next thing I want to do, I'm going to save that. I'm going to go ahead and attach this C# class onto my pipe set, right? So I'm going to save this. Right? I'm going to go ahead and get back over to my Unity file here. Right, and so now I'm just going to take pipe set. I'm going to click add component. I'm going to add a script to it. I'm going to add that obstacle script. Right, sweet. And so now when I run my game. Notice. My pipes now move. What? But my bird hit my pipe because my collider's on it, so my bird got knocked back. But you can see they're moving infinitely, right? And both of the pipes are moving despite neither of the pipes actually knowing that they have a rigid body component. The pipe set object actually does, which is great. Cool. So, the next thing I'm going to do is make sure that that functionality is saved, right? So my pipe set here, this combination of pipe top, pipe bottom, each pipe has its own box collider, and each, and the pipe set has an obstacle script on it, and it's got a rigid body in and of itself, right? I want to make a bunch of these, right? And I don't want to have to say every time I want to make another pipe set, you know, make a pipe set, make the pipe top and the pipe bottom, put rigid bodies on it, you know, put colliders on them, and then send them across the screen. I don't have to. So all I need to do is go over to my prefabs folder here, and I can just save this pipe set as a prefab by just dragging it on in. And now whenever I want a new pipe set, I can use it like any other object in the game, which is just killer. That was a really awkward way to say killer. Please ignore that. cool. So the next thing I want to do is create some sort of object that handles generating a bunch of pipes at one time, right? And I can do it the same way I made my pipe set object. I can go to my hierarchy here. I can just right click. I'm going to go ahead and create empty. And I'm going to name this game object generator. Generator. Okay, cool. And it's a blank object by default. I don't want it to be physically in the world, right? I'm happy if it's just like a master hand on the outside of things. And I'm going to go ahead and go to my scripts folder here, and I'm going to make a generate script, right? So I'm going to right-click, click create, C# script, and I'll name it generate. All right, and I'm going to go ahead and open that. Sweet. So what I want to do here is I want to just have this generator object create more pipes for me, right? I want them every second and a half or so, and I want it at a random at random intervals, but I want the random intervals to be within a certain range, right? So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to add in a couple of public members. I'll give it make my range first, right? So public, I'll make it a float because I know the function I want to use my range for is going to require a float. And I'll name it range and I'll set it equal to 4. All right. And under that, I'm going to make a public game object here. Right, I'm going to call my game object. I'm going to make an obstacle. Game object being... that was right. Yep. Game object being the object I'm actually going to be creating over and over again. Right? And in my start method here, I'm going to call another method called invoke repeating, right? Which just allows me to continuously invoke a method. And in this case, it's going to be a method that creates a set of pipes. I can wait to see how many seconds after my scene starts that I start kicking this off and how often do I want to repeatedly call those pipes. So I'm just going to make that declaration here, despite the fact that I don't have that create method. I'll just write it here first. Invoke repeating. All right, we'll put a semicolon after that. The name of that function is the first parameter. That's going to be create obstacle. I'll name it that. Well, maybe caps, that might help. Create obstacle. Okay. It's going to want two floats. So I'm going to say start 1 second after the layout, the scene starts, and keep going every 1.5 seconds. Cool. Now it's not complaining because I just passed in a string, so that's a correct declaration of it. IntelliSense helps me figure out what invoke repeating is supposed to do, right? Well, it's supposed to. But it seems to be being fickle right now, so we'll just ignore that. Anyway, now in my, under my update function, I'm going to go ahead and make another one. I'm going to call this create obstacle here. Sorry, you guys gotta watch me type and be prepared for all my typos, right? So the first thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna create my obstacle, right? But I also want to create a location, a spawn point for my obstacles, for my pipes, right? So that's gonna be the first thing I do. I'm gonna make a vector3 here. I'm gonna call this vector3 pipe locale. All right, and I'll set that to new vector 3. I'm going to try this with vector 2s, but unfortunately, Unity complains when I try to do vector 2s instead, because I'm going to need to use a transform. And, I'm going to need to use an instantiate method as well, and that's gonna fuss if it doesn't have a vector 3, right? So, why are these here? I didn't want to build you. Delete that. Cool. That's all I want. So, for my location, I can either play around in the Unity editor to see where they need to go, or I can kind of, you know, just eyeball it if I want it. But let's just say we want it to be exactly where our first set of pipes were, right? That's valid. So I'm just going to click my pipes here, my pipe set. I'm going to click my pipe top here just to see where that is. So on the x-axis, my pipe top, not to be confused with my pipe set is at... exit being 0.6 and Y being 0.5. That is not true, right? But if I select my pipe top here, I can see that on the x-axis is at about 7.9, so about 8, and on the y-axis is 8.4, right? I don't care about the y-axis. I really care about the x-axis here, right? Cool. So back in my editor, I can say, yeah, you know, 8 works, right? So I'll set it to 8 on the x-axis, 8F, right? And on the y-axis, I want it to be random, right? So I'm going to say whatever my position is, and that's recognized as transform.position in Unity. So I'm going to say transform.position, right, dot y minus my range. Okay, I'm going to multiply that times random.value, right? The random class in Unity.value. And that's going to give me my random range. Okay, so yeah, sweetness. And for my z value, since I really don't care about z axis at all, I'm just going to pass in 0. I really don't want that, but you know, you're going to have to deal with it. Cool. So now that my locale is set, the next thing I'm going to do is go ahead and call my instantiate method here. So type in instantiate. Looks like my Visual Studio is complaining a little bit. It usually finishes these things for me. I'll instantiate my obstacle. Right at pipe locale. Probably should have named this obstacle locale, but we'll keep it quick and dirty for now. And I'm gonna pass in quaternion dot identity. Right, and that's just a read-only property that just gives me, you know, my set of rotation in three-dimensional space. Right, that's just, it's something that instantiate needs in order to work. So I'm going to file save this bad boy, all right? And I'm going to make sure to attach this to my generator object, right? Cool. So let's see that in action. Oh, before I begin, it looks like I'm getting a funny little error here. It says, can I convert from double to float? Oh, forgot to make this a float. See, that's what I mean? So invoke repeating complaints, right? It wants floats. It doesn't want doubles. Not a problem. So now that we're done, we're going to go ahead and save this all. Right, and we're going to go back to Unity to make sure that our generator object understands that generate exists, and it's going to do everything I tell it to do. So now back in Unity, I'm going to go ahead, select my generator object. I'm going to take this generate script, and I'm just going to slap it on top of it. Right, and I know that it's there. But one thing generate doesn't yet know, my generator doesn't yet know, is which object. What is it going to keep instantiating repeatedly? And that's going to be our pipe set, right? So we can just go ahead and select our pipe set. We're just going to drag it in here. That's going to be the obstacle we want to make. So now, if everything goes right, and I haven't done anything wrong, if I run my game now, I should have a bunch of pipe set clones coming in. Oh, yeah, sweet, right? We got Flappy Bird, guys. We did this. Oh, no. What? My bird hit the pipe and it went rolling off because that's what boxes do when they slap into each other, right? Boom. Oh, no. That's so sad. It's okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to add in something that actually happens when our bird collides with the pipes, right? So we're going to have to add in some sort of die. Context, right? Unfortunately, I don't have enough time to build like a start screen and a high scores page, but what we can do in this limited amount of time that I have with you guys is to say that, hey, as soon as my bird hits one of the pipes, just restart the scene, right? So we're gonna go ahead and double click player. We're gonna open up player, right? Yep, I'm gonna normalize these line endings. It's just fuzzy, it comes up a lot. Cool. Right, and I'm gonna go ahead and add in a die method, right? A really depressing die method. So under my update method, I'm gonna start typing void die. Okay. Oop. Oh gosh, watching this must be painstaking, guys. Ew. Okay, there we go. And what that method is going to go ahead and do is it's just going to reload my scene, right? So I'm going to use the scene manager to do that. Scene manager dot load scene, right? And I'm going to pass in 0 as the scene. So the scenes are 0 indexed, right? 0 being the first scene. And since there's only one scene here, our main scene, which we haven't even saved yet, we're going to have to save this as a scene before this code actually works. The first scene you have is going to be considered your 0th scene. And you can actually change that in your build settings, which is also really cool. Cool. So what I'm going to do now is, it looks like I'm getting a funny little error. The name scene manager does not exist in the current context. I think I got a fix for that. Yeah, I need to include, I need to use another using statement. I'm going to add in scene management. Cool, that works. Awesome, and it stops complaining, yay! But now I need to actually delimit the circumstances when die is actually supposed to happen. So, I want to die under 2 conditions. The first being if I'm off the screen, so if I go too far high or too far low, or even, you know, if I go too far left or right, take me off the screen, reload the scene for me, because he's not supposed to be off the screen. Another thing is that when I actually hit a pipe, I want to actually die, right? I want to restart the scene. So the first thing is collisions. So that's going to be the easiest one. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll just add another method under here, call it void. I'm going to call this one on collision enter 2D. Now that is not my own personal method name. That is actually understood by Unity. It's in the Unity API, right? So this tells me what I'm supposed to do whenever I collide with something. And I need to pass in as a parameter, I need to pass in a collision 2D instance. And I'll just call this collision, right? Requires that to work. Sweet. So the logic I'm going to put in here, I'm just going to make a method call to die, right? Which, in retrospect, I probably could have just taken C manager, load scene, and put it in die. But, you know, I like to be organized. Cool. So the next thing we're going to do is we're actually going to go into our update method here, and we're going to say, hey, constantly be looking to see if my bird is on screen or off screen or not. And if he's off screen, kill him. So we're just going to go ahead. I'm going to add in a comment here. I'll call it death by off screen, right? And I'll just say, hey, if, and I'll use screen position. I need to create a screen position variable. So above that, I'll start typing screen position. I'll give it I'll make it a vector 2, because it is x and y, right? Vector 2, screen position. I'll set that equal to wherever the camera is. So camera dot main dot world to screen point, right? And I'm going to say wherever that position is, right? So transform dot position, right? And that's going to be my screen position. Cool. And now what I'm going to say is if that screen position on the y-axis, so dot y, is greater than the height of the screen, I can call that screen dot height. Or its screen position dot y is less than 0. I actually don't have any functionality for moving the bird left and right, so I don't have to worry about the x-axis at all here. It's fine. Cool. I'm going to go ahead and call my die method. All right, and that should work. So if I go ahead now and I just minimize Visual Studio, make sure my code was saved. My code saved? Yeah, it is. Make sure everything's saved. I just run my game now. Now, when I hit my pipes, it's going to give me an error. Boom. Nothing happens. My bird goes away. Whoa, gosh, what's happening? Actually, my scene is reloading, but you guys may notice if I go to the scene view here, my bird is actually being regenerated outside of my, behind my background, right? So if I take 2D off here, I can see that something fishy is definitely going on, right? We can fix that really easily. What we want to do is make sure that our bird is always on top of the background, right? So I'm going to stop playing this. I'm going to select my bird here. Notice on the Z-axis, this is where the Z-axis is important for 2D games. On the Z-axis, you'll see that my bird is set at 0. But so is my background, right? So obviously when it's being regenerated, there could be some issues. So I'm going to make sure I have my bird selected, and I'm going to change that Z from 0, and that's going to be in my inspector panel, to -1, right? 0 to -1. Cool. I'll click enter here. And I'm going to do the same thing for my my pipes, right? So I'm just going to go ahead and set that to -1 for the top one and -1 for the bottom one, right? And everything should be hunky-dory. Boom. See that? Awesome. My pipes reappear and everything's all right with the world, right? Boom. Sweet. So now we got death working in our game. How depressingly wonderful is that? The answer to that is pretty gosh darn awesome. So there are some other things that we want to add in our game, right? For instance, the first thing you may have noticed is that our pipes are just go off into the ether forever, right? So we're going to actually have to add something to fix that. Unfortunately, I'm already going over time if I were to consider doing that. This time, but for next time, guys, stay tuned. I'm going to have another video, and we're going to talk about adding a start screen to your game, deleting those pesky little pipes, as well as kicking up a high scores page. Yeah. So stay tuned, guys. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Game Dev Show. May the 4th be with you.